Tell me what ailing Well, or that was the fox who told me.
That was the fox I wanted.
This amateur radio roundtable is brought to you in part by ICOM America.
Your own.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the amateur radio roundtable here at W5KUB.com. I am one of your hosts this evening. I'm Katie, WY7YL, here at Sundance, Wyoming. And I am thrilled to be here tonight. I just rolled in out of yard work, and therefore my punishment was to open the show tonight. So you guys got me. I, as well as I'm sure very many of you, are very excited about the launch that took place this weekend. So I'm wearing my Space Chick t-shirt that I picked up down at Kennedy Space Center and my NASA hat. In celebration, and what an exciting time this has been in light of all of the other not so wonderful things that have been happening in our world. It was really great to have this moment of ingenuity and camaraderie and teamwork happening to put our astronauts on the moon, goodness, astronauts in space. And now we can go online to YouTube and watch them up there at the International Space Station. It's a lot of fun. But so very exciting tonight, of course, because if you've been watching or listening, of course, we are also simulcast on WBCQ. I just forgot the number we're at. What number are we on, Tom?
5130.
Thank you. We're on 5130. So if you are listening to us on 5130, please do shoot us a note to Tom at W5KUB.com. Let us know where you're listening to or where you're listening from and give us a signal report. Joanne's here tonight. Bill's here tonight. Glenn and his monsters are here tonight. It's going to be a fun show. And with that, I hope you guys will join our Facebook group that we've got, very active, a lot of good things happening. And of course, the big fun, exciting things that have been talked about on the group lately is the adventures of the W5KUB balloons. And I think that's going to be a good chunk of our talk tonight, since we've got a couple of experts in the room with us tonight. So with that, I'm sure I forgot something, but let me pass it back to our super duper host, the host with the most, Mr. Tom Medlin, W5KUB.
All right. Well, great. Thank you for that, Katie. And hey, guys, because Katie was late tonight, we made her open the show, okay? But she did a good job with it. She did a good job here. All right. Hey, a lot of things going on. A lot of things going on tonight. I keep getting people keep telling me to turn the volume up, turn the volume up. So I'm trying to do that here. Trying to watch the levels and so forth. Anyway, okay, hey, guys, got a lot going on tonight. As Katie mentioned, I just want to mention a couple things I've got coming up here in a few minutes. We'll give you an update on our balloon. You know, we made it around the world. We're starting lap two right now. I feel really good about this. Also, coming up sometime in the show tonight, we're going to have we're trying to establish an HF contact with the balloon. And we'll be trying to do an interview with the ants on the balloon here sometime during the show if we can make that contact. So we may have to interrupt the show a little bit if we make contact. We got three or four people trying a couple different bands over there. But if we do make contact, we'll come over and do that, and then we'll get right back there. So that's kind of one of the things going on tonight. Let's see. Hey, just let me just mention one thing here real quick. It's not a real segment here, but, you know, we talked about using a gutter gutter on your home for an antenna. And some people say, oh, it won't work, and it causes problems, and it causes that. Try it. You might like it. You know, in fact, I got an email from one of our viewers, and this is from Wink. I don't know if you can read that or not, but Wink says that he has been using the gutters for a long time on his house, and it's working great. And he sent a picture right there. Look at there, the coax feed point there in his gutter. He's put some wire to connect the two up there, so it goes all the way across. And he's having great results with your rain gutter. So, you know, don't count that out as an option. Any kind of piece of wire, anything in here, you can make it work. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And Wink, I don't know if you're watching tonight, but thanks for the pictures if you are. So let me shoot it over to, let's go to Glenn real quick and see what Glenn and the monsters are doing out there. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Going fine, man. So what's up, man?
Oh, all sorts of fun stuff. As you can tell, I've got one of the demons up here. They have now discovered that when I'm sitting doing a Zoom, that they've got to be involved. And got a couple things. Got a new toy in. I don't know if you've seen it yet. This is a USB-powered soldering iron.
You're kidding.
No. A little 15-watt soldering iron. And a couple years ago, up at Dayton, I was doing a presentation at their 4 days in May, and had a wire break loose. And, I mean, I would have given my left arm for a soldering iron, and none was to be had. And I ended up having to solder using a cigarette lighter and managed to get it reconnected.
Oh, man.
Found this, and like I say, it's a little USB-powered soldering iron. So I think I got it for like $10 or $12.
That's cool. That's cool, man.
And that now lives out in the car. Never going to have that happen again.
Well, that is that's so cool. I bought a little 12-watt soldering iron with a very, very small point that I use to build these trackers, but it's 110 volts.
Like I say, that'll USB powered, so you can drive it from a laptop or a car USB charger or anything.
Yeah. Well, that's cool there, man. All right. So, hey, are you still working on the books?
Just really starting to get cranking up. I finally got the lab put back together. Yeah. I mean, I think you saw it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Totally messed up it is.
Yeah. So I was wondering, when are you going to clean it up?
It is officially cleaned up.
Okay.
Everything's back together and it's all cleaned up and ready to roll. And I've got the flooring and stuff pretty much finished upstairs. So this is the week and everything when I actually start cranking book stuff out.
So. All right. Well, good luck on that. We're looking forward to your next books. I'll say plural. You have books, right? Coming out.
I have three out there now, and this is number four, and it's due to ARRL the 1st of November, which means that will probably make it out in time for Dayton next year.
Well, that's good. Well, very good. All right, let's jump down to Bill down in Huntsville. Bill is our master of high-altitude balloons, man. NASA employee. He's been launching balloons for 100 years. Oh, wait, he's not quite that old, but he's launched a bunch of balloons, all different types. Bill, go ahead, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Actually, it's been 33 years since my first high-altitude balloon launch, and I'm wearing my NASA hat, too, in honor of the exciting events this week. And by the way, if you want to wave to the astronauts and cosmonauts as they fly overhead, tonight there's an excellent pass over the Huntsville area and good portion of the Southeast and the Midwest. You can watch it around 9:39 tonight. From here, it'll come out of the Northwest, go directly overhead, and disappear in the Southeast. And it should be very bright and easy to see. I go to heavens-above.com, and if you enter your latitude and longitude in your profile, it will tell you when to look for the spacecraft as they go overhead, the visible ones, and also the Starlink satellites that are up there for the new internet service that they're planning. Also Huntsville, Alabama.
Yep.
I just saw that in the chat room. But if you go to Heavens-Above, I'll put that link in the chat room.
And hey, Bill, I think you can, if you don't know your grid, your latitude and longitude, I think you can put a grid square in there. Can't you do that and get you close?
I'm not sure on that.
You can also put it there's an app called the same thing, Heavens Above, on your phone. I think I still have it. And oops, mm-hmm. There it goes. See if it wants to zoom in. But yeah, that we've used that quite a bit. It's really a neat way to keep track of stuff, especially when the IS. I mean, we mostly look at it when we want to see if the ISS is passing overhead. We can go outside and watch. Yeah, Heavens right. Above is the app. Yep.
But it's going to be a beautiful overhead, mm-hmm. direct overhead pass here tonight. Some friends of mine in Illinois, the day of the launch, the night of after the launch, actually saw the space station go overhead, and they could see the Dragon capsule right behind it. So,
wow, that's cool, man.
It was pretty cool. So, be looking for that tonight, and that's Central Daylight Time, 9:39 tonight. So, Eastern Time will be 10:39.
Well, hey, NASA and the IIS and the space station and all that. Let's see. I got an email this week. Let's see if that's it. Yeah, that's it. From astronaut Doug Wheelock. He's actually congratulating us on making an orbit around the Earth there with our balloon. So that's astronaut Wheelock right there. And he's, of course, been a part of the show here on and off the last 8 years. So what else you got going there, Bill? Are you...
Instead of an hour and a half, it took you 16 days. So
yeah, that's
very
true.
Low.
That's right. I was kind of surprised he called it an orbit. I hadn't really used that terminology, you know.
Hey, if it gets you around the world, that's an orbit, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to show you one little device before we get into other topics here. I tune into an ATV Zoom net in the DARA repeater, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association's their ATV group. They have a really cool meeting, and one of the members of that, I told him about that micro VNA device that I had last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. Well, he said, I've got one that does all kinds of stuff, and it's a little bigger, and it's called the Mini 1300. I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing.
Wow.
And look at all the features it's got. And it's a HF, VHF, UHF antenna analyzer from 0.1 megahertz to 1300 megahertz. And it'll do SWR, Smith charts, time domain reflectometry, if you want to see how long your coax cable is, or if there's a problem in the coax cable, if you know the length of it. It has a tracking generator, signal generator, but it's got another really cool mode. Let's say you're just getting started on the digital modes. Over here on the bottom right, it will transmit a test signal on whisper.
That is so cool. Oh, Bill,
so
tell me, Bill.
Your call sign, your grid square, your power.
Oh, Bill.
Now, you have to set the clock on this reasonably accurate because it does drip a little bit.
Tell me how much, and send me a link where I can get one of those.
All right. Well, let's see if I get a commission. No. there are a range in price from about $180 to $300 or so, depending on how fast you want it. eBay has a bunch of listings for it. Just search for a Mini 1300 and you can find it on eBay, but there could be a several week delivery time because they're coming from China.
Well, I changed my mind. I'm just going to borrow yours.
Yeah, there was one from that said that they were from eBay, that was about $250, that said it's in stock in the United States, and so you can get a lot quicker. And then Amazon has them for about $300 and some.
Yeah.
So, and that's real quick delivery. But anyways, that's the really cool thing. It does work. I've tested it on Whisper. Not only does it do Whisper, it does FT8, FT4, and JT65.
That is
so
cool.
If you're into any of those modes and you want to test it out to make sure you're tuned in right, and it's got a signal generator so you can test your frequencies and see if you're calibrated. So it's a really cool device. Plus, it does check your antenna resonance. So if you're hooked up to that gutter, you might want to need one of these to see where the resonance frequencies is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bill, when you showed that during the pre-show, and I saw that main screen, it looked like something out of Stargate with the hieroglyphs. That's the first thing I thought of.
I didn't tell you it will do that. You can find a wormhole and go to another dimension. So.
Oh, please.
Oh, man.
It's definitely a different font that you normally would see on a product like that. So it's... So it caught my attention at first. I was like,
I was trying to figure out what it was.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's got a lot of neat features. It's got one neat feature. It's called Tune SWR. And let's say you're cutting an antenna on 2 meters to a frequency. You can, it'll give you an audio tone high and low as you get closer to a good match. And it has a colored chart that narrows to. So it's got some really neat features. So, you can build your own. There's a whole website that shows how to buy the individual boards and stack them together and build it. This company puts it together in a really nice metal case and for not much more money. So,
Bill, where did you say you came across that?
eBay.
Oh, okay.
And Amazon.
Interesting. Okay.
Although it's pretty expensive from Amazon, but if you want it now,
right,
you can get it like in a couple of days from Amazon.
Sure.
The shipping's free, so you have to look at the shipping too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I've had a lot of fun with it. It does a great job. I find that my 2 meter whip is resonant at about 162 megahertz because they cut it short. So all kinds of neat stuff like that. So I also wanted to mention some interesting things that we've been doing lately. I'm going to introduce Joanne Michael, KM6 Bravo Whiskey Bravo, and she's out in Los Angeles. And Joanne, can you tell us a little bit about what you did yesterday and today?
Sure. So I'm a K-5 science coach right outside of Los Angeles and been doing the Pico balloons. I was actually on the show a couple months ago, but I had this idea once we went on to distance learning to do a Pico balloon race across the United States just to give our students something new, something exciting to work on. And talked to a couple other ham radio and balloonists, and they were interested. And so yesterday, we launched 4 balloons, one from just outside of Los Angeles, one from Pasadena, California, one from Berkeley, California, which is about central California-ish, and one, oh, sweet, and thank you, Tom, for putting it up. And we had one from Pasco, Washington, which is roughly central Washington. So we had a colleague that is amazing with technology and was able to, we all zoomed into him and he was able to do a simultaneous launch on YouTube. So we all launched our balloons at 8:30 Pacific time, with the goal of being the East Coast time zone line as the finish line. So really, really fun. We made a whole bunch of different lesson plans and units so our teachers could send them out to the students that they could track them from their homes. One thing that I didn't look at ahead of time because it wouldn't have made as much really of a difference was the jet stream. Because normally when I launch, I wait to launch until the jet stream is directly overhead so that it has the best odds of going across the country. But in this case, we were doing a cross-country simultaneous launch, and so the jet stream would almost be cheating if I planned it for when the jet stream was directly overhead. So I didn't look at it when I set the date.
Oh.
And I know, I should have planned that better. But what happened was all the balloons went due north, which was pretty awesome. I've never had that happen before. So I don't know, Tom, if you can bring up the APRS again.
Yeah.
But at the end of day one, the Pasco balloon was obviously, understandably, a little bit more north. But what was really fascinating was in the morning, this morning when we woke up, the only balloon that was still transmitting was the one out of Pasadena, which is the KN6EQU-2. And so that one, as of right now, is still the only one transmitting. It did cross the finish line, still in Canada, and that was one that I messed up on because I forgot about the fact that when the, depending on where you are in the Earth, the time zone changes. And so I was going off of the United States time zone, and one of the other guys interrupted me and went, actually, I think you're a little bit premature. He hasn't crossed it yet, so it took us another couple hours before we could officially declare him the winner. But we have a couple different theories. So one of them is that if you're looking at Tom, or if you're looking at the map, the top balloon, the one that started out of Washington, is up really, really high north. So we're thinking is actually out of range of all the APRS repeaters. And so we may pick it up again in a couple days when it's in Europe. We honestly don't know, but just based on where it is right now. For the one that crossed the finish line from Pasadena, the really interesting thing about that one is that that balloon was filled using a party time balloon, like a canister that you get from Target for about $30. So it's not 100% helium like the other ones are. It's roughly 80% helium, 20% air. And so thanks to Bill being on the YouTube stream and being able to answer the questions, because it's not 100% helium, it doesn't float as high as a balloon filled with 100% helium. So it was roughly 2,000 feet below where it would be had it been filled with 100% helium. So we were wondering what that would happen, and apparently that works pretty darn well. So
it worked to its advantage this time. I think you may have hit some storm clouds. You were in the clouds and picked up some ice because you were coming down. And looked like KK6UUQ-8 was about to hit some storms in Nevada. And I think KN6EQU-2 actually went underneath the clouds and somehow steered through them. Because all three of you were in Nevada at the time when you started to hit the pop-up storms in Nevada, northern Nevada. Now,
exactly.
K7HAK-11, I did some. It hit a big storm near Edmonton, Alberta, and it dropped dramatically in altitude because it had picked up a lot of ice. But it's towards the end, it started coming back again. So what happened there, it had gone down to the freezing level, and the freezing level in that area was about 9,000 feet or so, and it actually melted off and started back up again. So I believe it's probably still flying, and probably in about maybe tomorrow or the next day, it'll be over Iceland and Europe. So be looking that might, if it survived the ice storms up in Canada and that extreme northern route, it may show up. But there's no ground stations in that area to speak of. So, KN6EQU -2, it was in southern Ontario. It's going to take a slow route across the Atlantic and could end up in Europe as well. But it's flying low at about 24,000 feet, so that puts it at risk for any storms. But in this case, it's like the hare and the turtle. it paid off.
It's honestly been so much fun, and we've gotten a lot of people interested in doing these Pico balloon races. And so we're hoping to do another race in October and getting anybody who's interested in sending a balloon that we can track, that we can do for our students. We would set the same kind of parameters. Somewhat the same kind of parameters. Like for this one, we said it had to be the 36-inch Mylar. It had to be filled with helium because we didn't want any cheaters involved. We didn't want anyone throwing an SBS 13 balloon when the rest of us were using Mylars or putting hydrogen in it when we're using helium. Because while it's a race, the goal of this is to help our students learn how to track balloons, to look at the jet stream, to look at weather patterns, things like that. So as we move forward after the summer happens, when we all have a chance to breathe and come up with a new game plan, our goal is to do more races with different parameters and see what happens. It's been a really exciting phase. I've had a lot of friends that have been tracking the balloon that had no idea what I was doing and just thought it was another one of those geeky things that I was into, and they now understand what it is, and they still think it's a geeky thing, but they want to be a part of this geeky thing in October. So it's a win-win situation, I guess.
Joanne, do you have a video of the simultaneous launch? That was probably the neatest aspect of it all, was that you actually filmed the four balloons launching simultaneously and were able to coordinate that via Zoom and YouTube. So do you have a short video of that?
I can get the link for it.
Well,
I don't have it on me right now.
I watched the Zoom the launch the other morning when you did it. I should have recorded that. But
it's up there. If she sends you the link to the YouTube a video, you can play the very first part where they launch it.
Right, I can work on trying to send that to you right now.
Yeah, you can just send it to me. We'll try to play it here maybe a little later in the show.
Okay.
Hey, Joanne, do you see this opportunity for future launches of, say, teaming up with schools once everybody's back in their schools, and then trying to get, doing a competition that way? You could almost, I can almost imagine like all these kids out in the parking lots at different schools and having some cameras set up so you could Zoom with everybody and see what's going on. It'd be like a really, like a multi-organizational collaboration to pull that off, but kind of fun.
Yeah, I was working, so the person out of Pasco, his name's Trevor McDuff and Steve Potter. They're two guys that are working together. And so Steve Potter is the ham radio operator. Trevor McDuff is the educator.
Okay.
And so when I was talking with Trevor after all this and we were tracking the balloons and everything like that, he was talking with the Smithsonian Institute, which is a group that he's involved with. So, we've been working on trying to figure out a way of doing a project with distance learning, because obviously they can't do a lot of what they were wanting to do because everybody's home this summer. I'm also very involved with ARIS, Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. And so they were the ones that really helped put together the YouTube video. It was a link through ARIS. And ARIS is a part of SCAN and ISSNL and stuff like that. So So we're really working on trying to see if we can get a lot more schools involved, a lot more districts involved, a lot more students involved to really make this educational opportunity go mainstream.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so one thing that Trevor was really talking about that I'm going to, my goal this summer is to build up a series of lesson plans so that teachers can work on getting their students to get their ham radio license. So then that way, when we do future launches, students can have their own ham licenses that they are tracking on their balloons.
Right, that's neat.
So we'll see, and now I have this summer to work on those lesson plans. So right. It's given me a goal because, I have nothing else to do during the summer.
Right. No rest for the wicked.
Oh, no.
Joanne, for the older grades, I know you said you do K-5. You might want to try doing something nationwide and do like an unlimited contest. Don't tell them, SBS 13 and the parts. Make them go out, research, find the parts, design and build their own. And maybe, the controller, of course, be standard so you can do the Whisper or APRS. And then try to get the whole nation involved and try to do an around the world race. Now you can do throw the geography into it and all of that as part of the lesson plan.
Definitely.
I don't even know what half the country names are anymore.
I don't.
Go ahead, Bill.
One thing I noticed when we were flying with student payloads around the world, the classrooms would actually learn about the nations that they were flying over and do a little lesson if it was over Romania. And Google Maps, you can click on Street View and actually see what's directly below the balloon. And you get to see the people, the cities, and you get a real flavor about the culture, and they learn a lot that way. And they learn countries and even states. How many of your students if you had a map of the United States, could correctly identify all 50 states, or the states that surround California, for that matter? So those are things that, not many geography is not one of those topics that's taught as a separate course anymore, is it?
Not as much, but one thing that we're planning for our October launch is not necessarily to go a West Coast to East Coast, but to do pure distance. So, if you're in the middle of Kansas, you can still launch and just a distance race to see how far can you go before you lose all signal. We have kind of mini awards for which balloon goes the highest and is still flipping. So not just necessarily the highest and then it bursts. So still figuring out what is the highest neutral buoyancy that you can reach before bursting. So, we have a lot of different ideas that we're thinking about using. For our high school students, middle school students, there's so much math you can do. There's so much geography you can do. You can study why do we use helium when there's students around and not hydrogen, because there is a difference on why we do that. But why is hydrogen generally better to do these launches than helium? And there's so much education in these little experiments that we're only brushing the surface of reaching. And it's great because the more educators that I get in contact with that care about this experiment, they start spinning it in a totally different direction. That I was talking to people about, well, what if we research Kittinger? Because he's one of the fathers of ballooning. How did he get into this? And what's his story? And what was that balloon filled with? And things like that. And I hadn't even considered reaching that aspect of it.
I met Joe Kittinger. He gave a talk here in Huntsville about 3 years ago, and he was my inspiration, actually, that got me into this 33 years ago. And I finally got to meet my mentor and inspiration and told him so, and he you know, it was a great time to actually meet him. He comes to Huntsville a fair amount, actually. But
so you're going to need to let me know next time he's in town so I can crash your house.
There you go.
But you know,
why am I not surprised that you've met him?
Yeah, you're talking about doing these races and things. You know, if you coordinated a little bit, I bet you could get a bunch of corporate sponsors to do trophies and plaques and stuff for the kids. And I don't know about you, but if I'm in the fifth grade and I get a plaque for my balloon that won a balloon race, I would be on top of the world.
Yeah, a lot of this race that we just did was definitely an educational experience, but it was also very much a test that we wanted to see if there was any interest. We wanted to see if we could do a simultaneous launch. We wanted to see if people would be interested in just a day. I was honestly interested if people would be interested if the balloon didn't go very far. And unfortunately, we got to test that. But we also, one of my colleagues had all of her fifth grade students studying and researching it. And so she was meeting with them today over a Zoom meeting, said, okay, guys, time for you to figure out why do these balloons not transmit today? And so they were working on it. They were looking at weather patterns and they were looking at the geography because I've had a balloon that smashed into the side of a mountain. So they wanted to see if that was the case again. And so they were getting just as much out of the balloons that didn't go across as much as the one that did. So while this was a test, I think it was extremely successful. So I'm excited to see what happens next.
The race continues. It's still going.
It's definitely still going. Liam's balloon is down for the night because the sun's gone down, but I'm ready for it tomorrow morning. And the kind of fun thing about the
West Coast, come alive over the East Coast, somewhere around Maine, I believe. I'll have to look at the prediction again. And if Trevor and Steve's balloon have continued from the Washington State up in the northern Canada, probably a day or two to get to Iceland and or Great Britain.
All right. One thing that's kind of fun about the West Coast is you wake up immediately to action, because since they normally go west to east, or they're traveling eastbound, yes, you lose transmission right before dinner time or earlier, but you wake up and immediately you can check to see what's going on. You don't have to wait for first transmission. So a lot of times when I have a race going, I'll have one of my friends will text me to wake me up, say, hey, guess where it is right now? And I love it. It's the best way to wake up. It's much better than an alarm clock.
Now, during the summer months, they can go from east to west. So you can get some interesting. We did a flight. We had a race from the Great Plains Super Launch. And I'll mention that, and I'll put the link in the chat room, superlaunch.org. And we're holding a virtual conference this year due to the virus. And it's July 10th and 11th. July 10th, we're doing a conference through Zoom. And also, I believe it'll be recorded on YouTube. It'll be all kinds of talks about tracking equipment, sensors, the ham radio equipment used in these devices, both in the large full-scale weather balloons and these Pico balloons. And then Saturday, we're going to do a number of these Pico balloon as a simultaneous launch and race on Saturday, July 11th. So all are welcome. There's no fee this year because we aren't actually at a facility. It was supposed to be in Omaha, Nebraska this year, but now that we've gone with a virtual conference, all of you all check out superlaunch.org and join in the fun. And hopefully Joanne and some of you all can do a simultaneous launch with us and join in our race in July.
All right. Well, hey, guys, we're going to move on here in just a minute. I'm hearing that we may be making contact with W5KUB18 here in just a minute. So we want to try to get that in while we have contact here. And we've got some other things to talk about. Hey, Joanne, thanks so much for coming on here tonight and joining with us here. And stick around with us for some more fun tonight.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome there. All right, guys. Hey, are we about ready over? All right. Hey, we're, I think you've got contact? Okay. All right. We will, we'll try to get on HF here in just a minute. We'll be right back with everybody. So just stand by. It's going to be exciting. Don't go away.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion as you have base station features and functionality at the tip of your fingers in a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at just over 2 pounds with RF direct sampling for most of the HF bands and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. It also has a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen with a live band scope and waterfall. It features 5 watts with the BP272 or 10 watts with 13.8 volts DC. You have single sideband CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star capabilities. It has a touchscreen display, micro USB connector, Bluetooth, and WLAN. It also has an integrated GPS with the antenna and with the GPS logger, a micro SD card slot. And it comes with the HM243 speaker microphone standard. The LC192 is a perfect accessory for the IC705 with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda, activations, or just a day in a park. Visit www.icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art antenna tuners for every amateur need. From QRP to QRO, fixed stations, portable and remote, an LDG tuner will match your radio to your antenna using our lightning-fast, proprietary tuning algorithms. LDG is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to bringing innovative, quality products to the amateur market. All LDG products carry a full 2-year warranty that is fully transferable. Support is only a phone call or email away. We're always here to help you. Visit us on the web at ldgelectronics.com.
All right, and we're back, and we've got communications, right? Did you get it on 17 meters? 20, okay, we're on 20 meters. We're going to try to patch this in. Here we got contact with Captain Dewey up there of the crew. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are up there. We're going to talk with Captain Louie here. Let's see if we can bring him in here. So stand by, and we ready? Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, I'm going to put some earphones on.
You guys may not hear it.
The staff here tells me they think they have a contact with W5KUB18 up there. What band you guys actually make contact? 20? Okay. Okay, we are on 20 meters. We're going to try 18 megs, but we didn't have much luck here. So we're on 20 meters tonight. We're talking directly to W5KUB-18. Up there. We're presently about 44,000 feet and don't know how good the connection is going to be, but we're going to try to talk to them there. So, Captain Dewey up here, do you copy me? Over.
Yes, we have a good copy on you. Our noise level is almost zero up here. Over.
Okay, great. Good that you're in contact with us. We're hearing you pretty good right here. I don't know how long we can keep this contact going, but you guys are live right now on our show, Amateur Radio Roundtable, tonight. And people around the world are listening on 5130 to you guys. Over.
We are so happy to be with you tonight. Over.
All right, well, great. We're glad to have you guys, too. Hey, Captain Dewey, let me just be the first to congratulate you there on you and your crew on your first lap around the world. It looks like you're already making good progress on the second lap. You guys are actually being world famous right now. We've got people all over the world watching you and following you. Over.
Yeah, thank you. This journey is amazing. It's been the best experience in my life to command WFRKUB-18. We have no plans of cutting the mission short. We have plenty of supplies that will last us for many months. You know, the world is a very small place. Looking down, everyone looks like ants. Over.
All right. Everybody looks like ants. Well, that's, you may be seeing ants down here. I don't know. Okay. Well, hey, Captain Dewey, tell us a little about your experiences over the past 22 days. You know, since launch, has there been any time where you felt like the mission was about to be terminated, or you had any issues? Over.
You know, from the minute we launched, it was a smooth flying. As you know, we were caught in a really bizarre weather pattern there near Egypt, where we were stuck there for about 3 days. We tried everything to get out of that area, even tried throwing sugar cubes overboard to increase our altitude, but we were never able to find any wind movement up there. We decided just to send it out. 3 days over. 3 days later, we were moving. Over.
All right. Well, very good. Well, you know, your pattern took you over a couple war-torn countries and some hostile countries. Were you guys worried at any time? Over.
Never worried. Every one of the crew were really focused on their mission and all the tasks we had to do. However, we did have one incident. It appeared a surface air missile passed us, but once it exploded, we realized it was just fireworks. Over.
Well, okay. Wow, man, I'm glad it was just fireworks and nothing else there. Well, you know, you also got stuck in an area of almost non-movement just off the west coast. You know, I thought you were going to make it to the finish line pretty good, pretty quick, but looks like you guys were never going to get to the U.S. You were kind of stuck a couple hundred miles west of California there. So, you know, how did you handle that? And I guess by then you were pretty confident you would make the goal of one lap that we had set. Is that right?
That area of slow wind to almost no movement at all off the coast of California gave us a chance to go over procedures and get ready for the goal of our mission. We discussed, you know, we discussed a lot of things during that time. We were very close, but to not let that make us overconfident. We still had 3 days to travel, and anything could happen. Over.
Well, you know, you crossed the finish line for the first lap about 0300 Thursday morning. I call it night, but it was actually about 0300 in the morning there. How do you feel about that? Over.
Well, it was a great feeling. No one could sleep that entire day anticipating the nighttime and our crossing the finish line. We had a big celebration up here that night at 44,000 feet. Over.
All right, Captain Dewey, you know, it looks like you had a good start on your second lap there around the world, and we wish you good luck. Thanks so much for talking to us and taking the time tonight. And we'll see you. We'll say 73s and Godspeed to you. Over.
Thank you, too, and 73.
Okay, well, that was all right, guys. Well, we had a little audio problems there, but I hope you heard the HF contact. It was pretty solid there. So I saw Katie. Katie, you were kind of laughing there at one point, man. Did what we are you? You didn't think ants could talk?
No, I just thought their joke about, you know, looking down on and look, and we look like a bunch of ants to them. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, that kind of surprised me too when they said everybody looked like ants down here below. So, and it could have been looking at ants. You know, I don't know.
Never know, but yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, all right. Well, let's talk about 18. We've got 18 this week. Made our goal. You know, our goal on the show was to get a balloon around the world. That was the goal. Not two times, not three times, but just get it around. Edward helped a lot. Bill's been a great mentor in this and others. And you know, I always figured if you try 10 times, if you put a lot into it and try 10 times, you will make it once around the earth. So on the ninth trip, we were feeling pretty confident that we were going to make it. And I knew then if we didn't make it on the ninth, we were going to make it on the 10th, a 1 out of 10. So, you know, I followed that thing, Bill. I kept a log. Every 10 minutes, the Whisper and APRS, and I'd write down the altitude and the course and the time and the voltage and all that. Did that, you know, for, I don't know, the first 16 days. We made it around the world, I think, in 16 days and 18 hours or something like that. It was about 17 days total. But, you know, it took a lot of my time and kind of obsessed on following the balloon. Now that we made that lap around the world, I don't care as much. Everything now is just extra, you know. And so I sleep late now. You know, I don't get up and run in here at 6 o'clock in the morning to see if the balloon is still up. You know, I may go in there at 8:30 just to see where it is now. It doesn't bother me anymore. But I think we got the capabilities here with this balloon. We could go a long time. I have a friend, Mel's balloon. He's running a similar balloon, a SBS-13, and hydrogen gas, and about the same altitude. He's been up for 11 months now. 11 months. So I didn't want to get up, at 4 or 5 in the morning for the next 11 months. So I've kind of washed my hands of that. But we could stay up a long time here. I've got a little video here to show real quick of somebody that Bill sent me. And this is Jack, KM4ZIA, and Audrey, KM4BUN. And everybody that was following a balloon was trying to track it on APRS, and we know that, or on Whisper, and we know that you can't always get it. And people were having... they were pulling their hair out trying to get this. But here's a couple young hams here that at the last minute decided that they will try to track it. So I've got a little video they sent, and let's take a look at it here.
Hi, Mr. Brown. Today is May 28th, 2020. And right now we're using Whisper on your balloon that's coming over our location right now. And we recently found your call sign there.
W5KAB, and this is actually the second packet we've received.
So,
we scrambled to get everything together when my dad told us that you were, your balloon was up, and we're getting your packets as well as on APRS and Whisper, so.
Yeah, the first laptop we used, it didn't work, and so we had to completely get rid of that, throw it out the window.
Yeah, for some reason that laptop wasn't being very,
Cooperative.
But, I had to, I installed WHJT-X on this machine, and it works a lot better. So.
Yes. So now this laptop's working much better, and we're getting your W5KB balloon, and your call sign, as you mentioned before, and it was such short notice that our dad notified us of the balloon coming over, and we're really thankful
So we found it here on Whisper here, and then there's it on the site, and let's see if we can find where we are. There's us right there.
Yeah, so we found it.
There's KM4BUN, and then we also have you up here on the APRS. I was confused at first because on Whisper you showed up just as W5KUB, but on APRS you're W5KUB-18. So, I don't know, but they're located in the same position, so they're obviously the same thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
It's pretty cool.
All right. That was Jack and Audrey. And a cool video. And look at there. Hey, these young guys, they can set up Whisper and receive the balloon, where us old-timers, it took us months and months to try to find it, you know. Oh, okay. What was that, Bill?
Heads up, Tom, and they had that receiving Whisper within probably 15 minutes. So they installed the program and got the audio working and everything.
Yeah, you know, kids are much better now on computers and stuff. I think you said they installed it and something didn't work, and it kind of sounded like to me they reinstalled it. I don't know if they reinstalled Windows or what they did, but hey.
By the way, I'm impressed with your 20-meter station tonight. You had great propagation to Libya tonight.
Yeah, and you know that was only 1 watt. That was our backup transmitter. It was 1 watt, and I think it worked out okay. It was pretty solid the whole time there. All right, well, Bill, you know, hey, today, let me see if I can get me on this picture here too with us. That might work right there.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, hey, so Bill, you know, we've had some technical issues going on in this flight. You know, we got over, and we're going to go in that same area now, but when we got stuck over Egypt and through the Middle East, I thought our tracker was going bad, and nobody was receiving it on Whisper, and we got maybe one or two Whisper reports in a day, and that went on for 3 or 4 days, and I was worried that our transmitter was going bad. But, you know, after we hit China and there, I mean, everything started working fine. People were picking it up everywhere. So I think, Bill, you mentioned that part of the world, there's not a lot of people on Whisper through there.
Now I tried several SDR radios. Some of them are not very sensitive or don't have very good antennas hooked up to them. And others are good. So it's pretty hit and miss to find a good one. But once you do, you can receive the Whisper signal and loop it into the Whisper decoding program and actually receive Whisper from the other side of the world on your laptop through the internet. So yeah. That was one way that we filled in the gap, and probably will have to do so again this time. I think the current prediction shows that not too long from now, it should show up somewhere over Jordan. So probably in another next hour or two, we'll pick them up in Jordan.
Yeah, I'll be anxious to see that. And thanks for bringing that point up, because I'd forgotten where I was going with my conversation. But talking about some issues that we had over time, and starting today, today from the very first transmission this morning, it was not good. Something in the processor or something got all mixed up, and it was sending information like every 2 minutes, and it's not supposed to do that. And
right, and it sent just your call sign. Yeah. It didn't send the telemetry call.
Yeah,
but,
so
we were able to do a couple of manual reports. We did get, towards the end of the day, a good frame. And it showed that it had gone from Algeria. It showed up in Algeria in the morning, mm-hmm. and then it was over Libya towards evening. So it's on its way towards the Middle East again.
So what I...
It looks pretty good. The voltages look great. Yeah.
So what I expected happened, and I was hoping, the processor and the circuitry here has a little reset. And I think when a voltage gets to 2.5 volts, it'll reset the processor. And from what we were hearing today and all the problems, it needed resetting. So I figured, well, I'm going to have to wait until tomorrow morning. You know, the voltage is going to go down overnight, and tomorrow morning find out if it's going to be working or not. But I think at the end of the day, when the sun got so low, our voltage hit 2.5 volts, it reset. And then I think we got enough voltage back in here to send a couple partial transmissions.
You got two good transmissions after that, so it worked.
But I don't think we got the data transmission, the second call, did we, during on those last two?
You did. Somehow it didn't get picked up by the Python, but it was in there, so I was able to compile it and produce an accurate report.
Well,
the
good.
One over Libya was the used both the transmissions.
Yeah. So we're thinking that the reset tonight, at the end of the day, possibly put this thing back in working order. So I'll probably stay up till midnight tonight to look and see if it wakes up. It's going to be, we think it's going to be over Jordan tonight at about midnight Central Time. That'll be about 0500 UTC. So for all you late guys that are want to stay up late, check it out. So we're going a little north. The path looks like the prediction is going to take us a little bit further north than India. We have gone down through India before. But I tell you, I don't know exactly where the equator is there, but, man, I look down around India and south there. I mean, I've never seen so many storms in all my life, man. But it seems
well,
like
that's an area that you want to avoid,
yeah.
Particularly during this time of year. K6STS sent an SBS-13 balloon with one of my Whisper boards up from Florida, and it went directly south toward South America, and it was last heard over Venezuela.
Yeah, I saw
and
it.
It was heading into it's heading towards the southern hemisphere.
Now,
so,
will it go the opposite way, Bill? Once it gets in the southern hemisphere, does it go the opposite way, or does it still go the same direction? I mean,
it depends on the time of year, but
yeah.
I think this time of year it's going to go down and then start heading east.
You know, I'm thinking about, you know, water going down the drain, you know, north of the equator, south. Bill, I saw a YouTube video. It didn't look staged. There's some place where they have a line drawn on the pavement down there, which is actually the equator. And the guy had a big bucket of water, and he poured it through this thing or something. And he was demonstrating, you know, you could be on this side of the line and the water would swirl one way and on this side the other. Now, I'm not so sure that's true. Do you think that really happens?
It depends how you put the water in it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, I find it interesting.
I'm going to have to sign off a little bit because
okay.
I want to get ready for the space station coming over in about 30
okay.
minutes.
All right, very good. Just anytime you need to leave, we'll see you later, and I'll be talking to you. And thanks for all your help with the balloon, and
all right.
Especially
I'm going to look at it now, and I'll chime in here where I think it's going to go and where to look. You'll probably be able to see it there in Memphis without too much trouble.
Okay, we'll take a look at it.
I'm looking at it right now. But that website I posted in the chat room, heavens-above, it says 21:39, that's 9:39 Central Time. It'll come out of the northwest and go directly overhead and head down to the southeast. Actually, we'll hit the shadow just after it goes over the top of me. So it'll actually hit the shadow and disappear.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to be a pretty little pass at 9:39 tonight Central Time.
You know, we should get those guys to get a flashlight and send some Morse code out the window when they go over.
Now, I'll tell you one thing I did. I was in a commercial plane flying over my dad's hometown in Findlay, Ohio, and I put my HT under the pillow, leaned against the window, and called him. And
yeah.
He heard me, of course.
Yeah.
And I says, "Dad, flash the headlights on the pickup truck."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could see it. He was sending Morse code. I could actually copy the Morse code set by headlights flying 10 miles above him. And I could actually see the headlights from his pickup truck.
All right, I got a story almost similar, Bill. Probably 20 years ago, I flew on one of our aircraft, a 727, to Dayton Hamvention. And I already had friends up there waiting. They were parked there at the airport waiting to pick me up when I got there. Of course, we're coming in like at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. But as we're making our approach, the pilot, I was sitting right behind the left seat, and he told me I could use a handy talkie, give it a try. So I called my friend down there on the ground, and the pilot flashed the lights on the airplane as we were coming in, and they could see us coming in, so they knew we were there. Man, isn't that kind of cool?
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Bill, see you later. Go out and check the space station out. We're not going to stay on here too long either. I got one more thing I was going to show here. I know several people wanted certificates. Here's a little certificate we made up for our circumnavigation of the Earth, and you can get it in either a black print or white print. If you don't like the white print on the cloud, you can get black print, but I kind of like the white print here. But saying now is the journey continues. It's continuing now. We don't know how far it's going to go. It might go, it may not even show up tonight. I don't know. I don't really care. But, you know, it may not show up tonight. And then again, we may circle for another 5 or 6 months. So the journey continues is our new motto for the show. And I want to thank those people that have helped us with, especially the last SBS 13 balloons that helped us pay for that expensive balloon, because this was our ninth attempt, and we didn't use the SBS on every single one, but I think we flew about 4 or 5 SBSs, and one of them, it was our fault, one of them lasted about 10 minutes. We launched in a storm, and it didn't last very long at all, so that was $180 down the tube. But you know, the launches can get expensive, particularly if you go out and you buy a tracker. You're going to put $150 in a tracker and maybe $180 in a balloon. So you're talking $350 a launch, possibly. And just multiply that times 10. I think we were going to stop at 10 if we didn't make it, but we're having a good time with it, and I think it's going to keep going. I am working on one now, and I know there's some... people, let me just say about this certificate. If you want one, let me know on Facebook or send me an email, and I'll try to print you up one. I was hoping I was able to just leave the name blank there and make it easy for you guys to add your own name, download it, and put your own name in here. But I hadn't figured out how to do that yet. So anyway.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
There was a question in the chat room a while back about the Polish recovery.
Yeah.
Any update on that?
Well, you know, for some reason, and Bill, I need to get you to get on those guys. They did send me an email. The guy says, I have it here on my desk. We're checking it out. And, you know, Bill and I have talked about, you know, relaunching it over there. The coronavirus has caused some delays. But I've sent them emails, Bill, and I'm not getting any response, man. Like, you know, how do you get it out of the tree? Did it have any gas in the balloons? Was it intact? You know, I'm not getting any answer back. But the Polish ham team did recover it.
I will get in touch with them.
Yeah, see if you can find out what's going on with it there. And hey, that'll be another great story. Just regas and relaunch. And I don't know if anybody else is. Had a launch.
Relay race.
I don't know if anybody else has did a launch and sent a balloon around the world and stopped in Poland to regas. I don't know if anybody's done that before. We like to do some of the first things on the show here. So anyway, that's the story on that. I really think the one that went down in Spain, I think it's in an area where it could be found, and we probably just need to contact the Spanish hams there. Bill, I'm not listening, I'm really not looking for the one in Spain. It could transmit occasionally in a tree or something, but I guess for me to see it, I'd have to run the Python script to see that one, wouldn't I? I think that was 17. I guess I could crank up a second Python script and put 17 in it and See if it ever shows up.
To do what now with 17?
I think it was dash 17. I guess I could crank up another Python script and just let it run in case 17 did, you know, did show up, right?
If 17 shows up, we would see it in the whisper data.
Yeah, but it would just be one little whisper data, and I might not even see that. You know, I mean, because I don't look at the map plotted by the whisper map, really. You know, I'm looking on the APR's map, and I'll never see 17 again.
I find it interesting that 18 has had these transmission issues pretty much at the same area of the world.
Well, that's one of the things I'm wondering about right now. And we're going over Middle East now, and we're going to be hitting that same area. And if we start having transmission issues, I'm not going to be worried. I was really worried the first time it went through there. Now I know kind of what to expect in case that happens.
Yeah, and one quick question. Does anybody know when the astronauts that just went up to the ISS are going to come back?
I don't think they know yet. The mission was just to test flight.
120 days or something like that?
Well, their mission, I think, was just to test flight that. They didn't have any other assignments, but they talked about maybe if they could do other things, that would be great. And I think they were going to maybe try to stay, Bill, maybe, you know, 30 days, and then maybe they might even extend it.
Okay, because there's a thing going around on Facebook right now.
Uh-huh.
That basically says we've got 120 days to buy our gorilla outfits and learn how to ride horses before they come back.
It's about 120 days.
Okay.
I don't get it.
They are the only one. Planet of the Apes.
Must have something to do with Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes, yeah. Now, Glenn, you have a microphone thing sticking out of your head. Let me see if I can fix that.
Microphone sticking out of my head?
Yeah, you don't see that? Move your head back to the right a little bit. There you go, the boom. The microphone boom. Let me fix that boom. Let me see if I can.
I was going to say that's your boom because it ain't mine.
Well, yeah, it's my boom. Let me see if I can remove that. Yeah, that ought to do it. Okay.
I thought I was feeling something sticking in there.
It was sharp. It was sharp, I tell you. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us. I was a little worried, man. So
fortunately finished up what we needed to do outside quickly, and like you saw at the beginning of the show, I was scarfing my cheeseburger before the show began.
You were glad to get in here
and say hi to everybody, and really congrats again to Joanne for your project. That was pretty exciting to see and hear about. And Bill, you need to get out there and go chase the ISS.
Yeah. No, all right, guys, it's almost time here to quit.
Yeah,
hey, Katie, you were out doing the yard work. Do you have like a weed eater or anything? You ever run one of those weed eaters?
I do. I need to. Yeah, my legs are full of grass.
Okay, so have you got a gas one or electric one?
We have both. I use my mom's electric because the gas one is just a little too heavy for me.
I just bought. I just ordered and bought. I've got some really, really big shrubs that need trimming.
Yeah.
I got an estimate from a guy that just did a yard next to me. They want $550 just to, trim my shrubs and rake it up.
Yikes.
So I went ahead and ordered me a trimmer. But some of the bushes are so high, I needed a long reach. So, you know, the trimmer deal that cuts the bushes. So I needed a long one. So I found one, a brand new one I bought. It was gas. And it had about an 8-foot reach on it, and it came with an extension, and you put that extension in, and it makes that thing 12 foot. The cutting blades are 12 feet out.
Wow.
And it also came with a chainsaw attachment to go on the end and a weed eater attachment to go on the end and the trimmer. I started putting.
Well, you're just going to be able to stay outside all day.
I've got to let you in. I've got it on a resale group right now. I'm going to take a loss, but I'm selling it. I haven't even cranked it yet.
Let me tell you,
you got to be a sumo wrestler to carry that thing around.
I've got an all-electric one that's got one of those 12-foot extensions to a little small chainsaw that I use.
Yeah, well, I've got that too, but I wanted the one with the little cutting blades, you know, to cut the bush and stuff. But let me tell you, you'd have to be
attached to it.
Hey, to hold this thing and really it'd wear you out. You'd have to be a 600-pound sumo wrestler, I guarantee you, to use it. I've already put it up for sale right now. So if anybody wants to buy one, $250, you get the whole works, the chainsaw, the trimmer, the bush cutter, the weed eater, you know, all that stuff, extensions, all that stuff, man. It even comes with a tool bag with all the tools in it.
I see we've run over into the W5KUB garden tool.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were talking about the ISS. I was actually doing a forum at a club down in Helena, Arkansas, and I was demonstrating my little satellite tractor for my first book. And, of course, we fired it up, and lo and behold, there was an ISS pass right at that minute. So we all ran outside holding the little tractor and watching it point to the ISS as it went over, and that was just way too cool.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't plan it that way. It just happened.
About 8 years ago, I had a little project in my office. I've got engineering staff and support staff there, and that's when I was into the IIS really good. And a lot of times they would have the repeater on at that time in the IIS. So we made a little tape measure antenna, and I got the whole group to go outside, and everybody had a job, you know. You know, your job is, you know, to watch the time and the angle and where it's going to be, you know. And your job is to do this, your job is to do that. And we went out there in a parking lot, hooked it up to the mobile rig, and took that tape measure antenna, and we made a contact through the space shuttle's repeater. And, boy, it was a long ways away. It was in Nashville, about 200 miles from here. Oh, man. Okay. Well, look, guys, we need to get off of here and get out of here, and I'm going to go get a snack, and I'm going to...
Katie, it's going to go right over Wyoming, I think, if it's dark enough.
Yeah, we don't think so. I've been looking outside. We got some good clouds, but it's pretty... There's, you know, still quite a bit of blue,
you know,
sky.
You might even... Sometimes you can see stuff anyway.
Sometimes you can see it when it's not dark.
I mean... If it's got the sun reflecting on it, you still might see it.
No, oh, not quite.
All right, well, Katie, good night. Thanks for being with us tonight.
All right, thanks.
And we'll see you.
Bye,
next.
Everybody.
We'll see you, Katie. Katie, we'll see you.
We'll
see you next week, Katie.
Okie dokie.
Be on time.
Till then.
Or you have to. You'll have to open the show again.
Bye.
All right, we'll see everybody. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Tom, it's 9:39, start looking to the northwest. It'll be overhead about 9:41.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll look for it. 9:41.
For you, Glenn, since you're right next to each other.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
All right, everybody.
Bye, Joanne.
Bye.
Joanne. I'm sorry. I forgot about Joanne. Joanne, let's get you back on here. Joanne, I'm going to extend the show. You've got the next 30 minutes.
Oh, goody. Yeah, because I have nothing else going on.
Yeah, you got it. Take it.
So, what you want to talk about?
I don't know. It's your show. This is the Joanne show. I'm just going to leave it on for the next 30 minutes while I go get
a
peanut butter sandwich. Okay.
It's peanut butter sandwich time.
Yeah. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We enjoyed it tonight.